Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 1 of 2 Parts, October 9, 2018.
Yeah, I'm going to echo those sentiments as well to both Ms. Kenna and Ms. Marlowe for the work that they do every single day for students. And great educators don't do this work for recognition. But to be recognized by your colleagues is probably the highest recognition. And for two very intelligent women who are in positions to be role models to others, one in a area where there's not enough women in the field of STEM, and to be able to play that role as well is significant. And another who is a historian in her own right with the story of the oppressed, and making sure that the story is told, making sure that it stays alive so it doesn't repeat itself. And with Ms. Marlowe, when I first arrived to the district, I'm going to tell you, I did not know how rich and how deep the history of Cheltenham was until she provided me with documentation. And I went to a session in Elkins Park, and she was presenting, and I was taken aback, and I thought to myself for a moment that the history of America is deeply connected to the history of Cheltenham, and that students don't have to go far to talk about those issues, and they can just look in their own backyard with a treasure trove. So I do want to thank both of you for your continued service and the work that you do for students, and selfishly, the recognition that you bring to this community and the recognition that you bring to this district. I'm going to echo those and thank you again for that. A couple announcements on my superintendent update. A lot going on since the last time that we spoke. Last night there, UPG had the first meeting where Dr. Smith was present and provided an overview on some of the key. And though we use the term initiatives, I think oftentimes when we use that, people think, oh, you're going to do this year, you're going to move on to something the year after that. But they're deep commitments to longstanding efforts for the district. I'm going to make reference to a couple of those and some committees that have met and will continue to meet. We have organized a homework committee that has met since we last spoke, and part of that homework committee, made up of educators and teachers and administrators and others, is for us to find a deeper understanding on what is homework, what is the impact of homework on achievement, what does the research say about the advantages and disadvantages of that process, and how do we come to consensus K-12 as a district with a common understanding about what that looks like. Is it homework for understanding? Is it homework for completion? Is it homework for grading? And what does that look like? And there's a meeting scheduled, another meeting again scheduled for this this month. And that piggybacks into another conversation that we are having. And that is part of the grading committee. And part of that conversation speaks to the elements of grading. Do you grade for accuracy or do you grade for completion? What does standard-based grading look like? And what are the factors that influence a grade? What is an A? And does that look the same in terms of common language across across classrooms and across discipline? So that's another really deep philosophical conversation that shapes the way in which our pedagogical practices will be shaped, which is aligned to the work we're doing with our strategic plan. Then there's another committee, and out of the curriculum or education office as well, there's world language. And we had a world language meeting, and that group of individuals and community members and educators are really looking to unpack what are the benefits of a world language experience at the elementary level, but also thinking about world language K through 12, because you have to have a continuum. They spent some time talking about the types of language programs, how to initiate a language program, and designing a program, and they're going to have another meeting scheduled this month as well. We also had our first climate and culture inequity meeting this year, meetings we've had for the last 2 years, and part of that conversation came from community members who wanted to be made aware of issues around climate and culture and safety in the district. And our principals, as part of that conversation, and we have, normally we had scheduled 3 meetings per year. Last year we only had 2 meetings. We have 4 meetings scheduled for this calendar year. The next one is January 3rd. But part of that is to provide the community a sense of what's happening in each of our buildings with respect to climate and culture. The last presentation also dovetailed into a conversation around equity and what does that mean. And we invited Dr. Bob Jarvis, who's the Director of Leadership for Excellence and Equity at Penn. We also invited one of our very own Dr. Bennett, who is the Director of Equity Services for PSBA, who is a graduate of Cheltenham. While she was busy getting her JD, she decided why not go for a PhD at the same time in her spare time. So we were fortunate to have these two nationally recognized leaders help us think about what is equity and what's the tenets of equity, the principles of fairness and justice, the allocation of resources, eliminating institutional barriers, and how do we make sure that particular identities are not predictor of outcomes. So we're excited about that work, which dovetails into this board's commitment into coming up with an equity statement with community involvement and participation, but also then translating that through a policy and using that as the lens in which they make all of their decisions or think about, or one of the many lenses that our board members have to look through in terms of making decisions that are in the best interest of our students, our faculty, and our community, not only about today or tomorrow, but what those decisions mean 3, 4, 5 years from now. We also had a culture proficiency action plan committee meeting where a group of individuals came to honor the work the district has been doing around cultural competency and the ability to think more critically about the students who we teach, the backgrounds that they come from, the cultures in which they come from, and how does that intersect into the learning experience. So we're developing very similar to many of our action plans, a multi-year document that at the end of the day becomes a living and breathing document, not something that sits on a shelf. A meeting scheduled again for that, and we ask that you, I know we send a lot of information home in packets. As a parent, I'm embarrassed to say that even though I am the superintendent, my wife often reminds me of all the packets coming from Chapman Elementary as well. So I do understand the treasure trove of information that comes in the balancing act that many parents have to play in terms of their participation and where do I go with such limited time and all these conversations happening. So I do encourage you to visit our website where we have those posts. I encourage you to please pay attention or closer attention to those new shares, both administrative new shares and the building level new shares as well. And I know that oftentimes on a Friday night, you're getting bombarded with emails of all this information, trying to look through that. And we're gonna work with our communications fellows to think more critically about how we're conveying that, because we do want your participation. And I want to say that in most districts, one of these topics is the only topic that is being discussed for the calendar year. I want to share that the tenacity and the aggressiveness of the strategic plan speak volumes, because these are deep conversations. But at the end of the day, this is Chapman. We believe we can have a multitude of conversations simultaneously as we think about our district now and several years from now in terms of what we want it to be and it needs to be. So I encourage you to please find ways to get involved, reach out to your PTOs, find other mechanisms, reach out to the principals, reach out to us. Marseille, I get too many things are happening. Tell me what I really need to show up for. We'll take those calls too. I want to try to provide some direction to maximize the expertise that is out there, and we enjoy the discourse. Couple more. I want to acknowledge Dr. Riley, our supervisor of STEM, Dr. Pimentel, who I want to congratulate because he welcomed a child, a new little girl, him and his wife into the world. So he's back with us after some time off. Looks like he's well rested, but I'm not sure. Probably will not be in terms of that process. But I want to recognize both of them, and I share this with the board. And it goes to Ms. Marlowe, who was here with us, and Ms. Kenna, in terms of the recognition and what that means to the larger community. PDE has a national conference, the Standard Align System Institute, hosted every year. And both Dr. Riley, our supervisor of STEAM, and Science and Engineering and Math, and our Mr. Pimentel, maybe soon to be Dr. Pimentel, I'm not sure. I don't think he has any time with his new lady to pursue that yet. And we're deeply committed to the tenets of project-based learning that we've been promoting in the district. And that our teachers have been doing a phenomenal job of implementing those strategies. Along with both of those individuals, a group of our teachers from our PBL program had, from Cedar Brook and from the high school, have been invited to be a panel speaker to present to their colleagues who are coming from across the Commonwealth to hear best practices from districts, and we were nominated and approved to do that. So a testimony that there's a story to be told, and people want to listen to that story. So it's a great work that they're doing. Also in terms of giving back and always obviously community service, which I've said I've been in a number of districts, but the level of civic engagement and awareness that our students have is at the top of the charts. So in collaboration with the communication office, Coleman, Philadelphia, we're participating in a fundraiser, bringing awareness and a campaign around breast cancer. So if you've had the opportunity to go to the high school and other places, you see these little pink, little pretty and pink, I guess is that the terminology? I was gonna say pretty and pink, but the pigs are pink. They're spread out throughout our district to bring awareness, but to raise resources to battle breast cancer, which is culminating into our pink out game on football on Friday. So I encourage all of you to please attend. We're very fortunate, also through Mr. Kaufman's office, along with Mr. White, who is our administrator for safety and security, applied to the Pennsylvania Department of Education for a safety grant, and we were awarded $20,000 to implement a threat assessment team. Part of that came from the U.S. Secret Service threat assessment protocol that came out in July of 2018, which is a comprehensive document, which is more like an operational guide that gives districts actionable steps to take to develop plans to prevent violence. And what are the signs, and how do you train individuals to see that? Working at the communications department, I also remiss not to think about Dr. Horsey's office, student services, who led that as well. So it was a team effort in applying for that grant. We had shared with the board our commitment, and Dr. Smith had spoken about this earlier as well last year, our commitment to move forward the threat assessment team and the need for that so that we are proactive as much as possible as opposed to reactive to incidences of violence. I promise two more, I know. Long-winded, but there's really some good stuff to share. Also excited about the fact that we have our third annual college and career fair. Every year this fair gets larger and larger and larger. Testimony again to Dr. Horsey's leadership, Dr. Riladine, who is in her department as our supervisor of counseling. So this is where 50 plus post-secondary institutions and both private, public, two-year, four-year trade schools, military, other career organizations come for 10th to 12th graders to come and get a sense of what's out there, what they're thinking about. It's an opportunity that, you know what, I wasn't really thinking about this, but now that I'm at this table, maybe this is an opportunity. And that's the beauty of these experiences, is that it's exposing children to those particular opportunities. And every year, it gets larger and larger. I had the opportunity to attend Manufacturing Day session at Arcadia. That was hosted by a number of individuals in our Center Haywood. Presented that, and we met with a large number of organizations wanting to educate students on the opportunities out there available to them with the right skills. So I'm really excited about the third year of this college and career fair and how much it has grown. And one last recognition recognition to Mr. Hoy, who was the director of orchestras at the high school and at Cedarbrook. Once again, we are being recognized, our staff and our students, for the wonderful work they do. So much so that the High School Chamber Orchestra was selected to perform at the 2018 PSBA National Conference. So this is a conference where all the school board members from across the Commonwealth come. This is also where all school administrators from across the Commonwealth come for 3 or 4 days to learn about what's happening nationally, learn about what's happening in their communities at the Hershey Lodge Convention Center, and to be selected to play in front of thousands of individuals of that magnitude speaks to the work that is happening here when individuals are asking Cheltenham, come and tell your story, come and perform, come and share that. So great things have been happening, great things are happening, greater things are to come. So a little bit longer than usual, but there was some a lot of meetings that I wanted to share and a lot of good things that are happening.
Before we segue to the other part of the meeting, I did want to thank Mr. Roy, Dr. Horsey, and Mr. Kaufman for your work on the $25,000 grant that we received. This was a state grant that was available to any school district to apply for, and I'm glad that we did and we actually received it. So thank you again for all the work you've done. Long report, Dr. Marseille, there was so much to share and so much that is not even in your report to share. So thank you very much for at least giving us a tip of the iceberg in terms of all the great things that are going on in our school district.
The other part of my report, we have a presentation from Amy Farrell around the health and states, and I'd love to, if I may, hand it over to one of our board members, Mr. Cohen, to do an introduction of Amy and who she is and what she's going to be presenting to the board tonight.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Marseille. Amy Farrell is the legal counsel for Landmark Developers, which is the equity owner of Elkins Estate, meaning that they're in the process of considering buying it and actually trying to purchase it. A little bit of background and context without doing the whole presentation, and also to give some background for why we're here as a school district and community tonight, is that the Elkins Estate is a property which is on this side of the street, the same size as the post office. It's about 40 acres. It's not, and there's some confusion from the community, it's not the property which is across the street, which is in disrepair. So just to give a little bit of background and bearing in that way. Ms. Farrell is going to talk in part about the property and also the plans for the property, which I think are very exciting for the community. And also have a role for the school district on that property. And also she'll talk somewhat about a process called tax increment financing. Very briefly, that's a process whereby the taxing authorities in the community work with the developer to try to move towards a course of action to provide some tax relief on the property in exchange for certain things happening on the property, notably around improving the property, making a viable property again, in terms of contributing to the tax base. The authorities are the school district, obviously, the county and the township as well. There's a group that is comprised of members of those bodies, and also Ms. Farrell is representing the developer along with others, which had the first meeting Thursday of last week on the 4th, and also is meeting on the 11th, Thursday of this week as well, to try to reach terms of an agreement whereby there will be some tax considerations given to the developer in exchange for improving the property. I'll certainly let Ms. Farrell talk in more detail about that as well. So without any further ado, we're going into more detail or background. Let me turn it over to Ms. Farrell. Thank you.
Good evening. It's okay if I move around a little bit. I'm not great at standing in my spot.
Part of that is with the camera.
So. Okay, so you want me to stay generally in this location?
Yeah, but I understand the need to move.
Okay.
Yes. Motion will go far a lot.
I'll hang out generally in this vicinity. It's just the mic feels a little far away otherwise. So as David said, my name is Amy Farrell. I am the land use attorney, zoning attorney for Landmark Developers. They are the equitable owners for this project. As I also say each time I give this presentation, full disclosure, I am a township resident. I have children at EP in sixth grade, so he's coming your way next year. Good luck with that. And a 10th grader who's loving the high school. So it's all good on our end with respect to the school district these days. I also generally, when I'm not wearing my land developer attorney's hat, am the chairman of the township zoning hearing board. So I normally am on the other side of the table when it comes to this kind of project for the township. This project came into our office about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, and I said, no way, no how is anybody else getting their hands on it? I wanted to do this one because it's pretty darn exciting. So I want to spend a few minutes just giving you some background on the property, its current conditions, and then what the overall proposal is, and then we'll talk a little bit about how that leads into TIF discussions. So I think this is a property that everybody is generally familiar with, but you can see up on the screen, there's kind of a lightly shaded oval in the middle of the screen that is the property known as the Elkins Estate. And sort of in the upper leftish mid corner of the site, or of that slide, is a smaller circle that's outlined in red. That's where we're standing right now. So that gives folks some general idea of where the Elkins Estate is in relation to this building. And the clicker's not working. I was told this was going to. There we go. Somebody's doing that for me, or it's magic, I'm not sure which. This is the existing conditions of the property generally, just a basic overview. So in the upper left, you can see a lightly shaded red area. That's about 14 acres, a little more than 14 acres gross. That was purchased by the Dominican Congregation of St. Catherine de Ricci in 1949. That is a nonprofit group. So since 1949, that 14 acres has been off of the township's real estate tax rolls. There have been $0 in real estate taxes paid on that portion of the property since 1949. That portion of the property contains what's known as Chelton House. I think you're probably all familiar with it. You've driven by it, I'm sure, hundreds of times. It's a Tudor-looking mansion, I would call it a mansion, along Ashbourne Road near the corner of Penrose, kind of across from the post office. The former stables are also on this portion of the property. I'm going to try to, there we go. So the former stables are sort of down in the back corner of that portion of the site. There is a, what was built as a playhouse casino for the family and the children of the family that lived here. It is more than 3,000 square feet, so bigger than many of the homes in Cheltenham Township, but was where the kids played. Half of what is known as Elstow Manor also straddles that property line, and we'll get into a little more detail with that in a moment. The remainder of the portion of the property that you see in the darker red is about 28 acres. That was purchased, depending on which deed you read, in about 1900 or 1930. By the, again, the same Dominican congregation. So also, since the early 1900s, has been off of the real estate tax rolls in Cheltenham. That parcel contains the majority of what's known as Elstow Manor. It also holds at the rear of the property, towards the rear of the property, the former power plant, which was converted by the nuns many years ago to a convent retirement home type of facility. There's also a small gatehouse, it's a little hard to see on this plan, but a small gatehouse on the property as well. One thing that is not part of this property and not part of this project is the former Temple Tyler campus. There's been a lot of confusion in the community about that. That property has been sold by Temple to private developers, but it's not part of this project. I'm gonna try the slide thing again, but I think, yeah, there we go. Oh, somebody else will do it for me. So these, there's a series of slides here, and I'm going to ask whoever the magician is who's scrolling through these for me. Thanks, Crystal. You can move through these fairly quickly. I think that everybody generally knows this property. I do want to spend one moment on this one. This one's fine. You can use this one right here. This, the large building in the center is the El Sol Manor. That's the largest kind of marquee building on this property. It is a Horace Trumbauer designed building. Trumbauer is a very, very famous architect in and around Philadelphia. He's sort of one of the architects of the Gilded Age. And we are very, very lucky to have this building in our township. Adjoining that building is the one component of this property that I think we can all agree is a little sad, let's say. It was a 1970s-ish addition that was put on as part of the retreat facilities for the site. It's not particularly interesting. It doesn't really tie into the rest of the surroundings, but we do have a plan in order to make that happen. If you could forward, please. And these are just some images taken from Ashbourne Road that show you sort of looking into the site and some of the general views. If you would forward, please. And again, and I'm gonna let you just scroll through these. These are a series of photographs of various views into the site, so you can see some of the general conditions. This is another overview. Thank you. So as you can see, we're dealing with a lot of ground and a lot of buildings. The overall proposal is to consolidate the entirety of the parcel into a single parcel. That will get us to a little more than 40 acres net, when you net out for right-of-ways and riparian buffers and those types of things. Landmark's proposal is for a hotel and event facility with a conference facility. So the entire property will end up being used as part of that hotel and event conference facility. One of the big bonuses, of course, as we see it for the township and the school district, is that Landmark is a for-profit company, so this property will return to the tax rolls. Real estate taxes will be available in connection with this property. We'll get into what that looks like a little later, but this will be for-profit. The exemption that has existed since the 1920s goes away once Landmark purchases. Three other big components of this proposal that we think are of huge benefit to the township and to the school district are that Landmark has proposed a preservation easement over all of the buildings on the property that will preserve and maintain those buildings and their facades. Despite how magnificent these properties are, not a single one of these buildings is on any historic protection list. It's not on the National Register, they're not on any other state or local lists. So theoretically, a developer could come in and take them all down, and there's little to nothing that the township could do to stop that. So Landmark, being historic redevelopers, wants this property specifically because of these buildings, so they're proposing to preserve all of them. Another component of Landmark's proposal is a restrictive covenant or deed restriction that will prevent future residential development of this site. Again, this site is a little more than 40 acres. It's zoned MU3, which is a mixed-use district in the township. That district, which was relatively recently created, allows for multifamily residential on property of this size. So again, if Landmark were not to develop this as it's proposed, another developer could come in and could develop this with multifamily residential, which obviously drives an increase in students into the district. So we think the restrictive covenant with respect to the prohibition on future residential development is a substantial benefit to the district. The last component that we think is of substantial benefit to both the township and the school district is an agreement between Landmark and those bodies for Landmark to provide for public access to the property and public use of various components of the development that we're calling public benefit improvements. And we'll get into those in a little more detail in a moment. At this point, it really is, I think, useful to say that this is currently a private property. Although it is nonprofit, it is a private property. So it is not technically open to the public. I know many folks have wandered over there and maybe checked out the grounds, but you're not really supposed to be there. It is not currently open to the public. It's not available for public use outside of private tours and schedules. Landmark's proposal is to open this property, the entirety of it, to the public and to treat it as essentially as a public park, but one that Landmark will hold and maintain. So the township and the school district get the benefit of that public access without the burden of those maintenance costs. We see that as a pretty substantial benefit. Next slide, please. So Just to outline for you a bit those proposed conditions and what they look like when all is said and done. Chelton House, which is again at the top of the screen here, will be renovated to include 14 hotel rooms. That will be part of the hotel and conference facility. There's a small porte cochere that's proposed along what was the original entry to that space to allow for a more generous entry again into the building. That is one of the locations where there's a parking field to be located, 117 parking spaces and an additional 30 in reserve. And we'll talk a little bit about the parking and the reserve parking in a moment, but you'll see as we move through this, one of the things we worked really hard to do was to locate parking along the perimeter of the site so that we could avoid impacting the center of the site. And the reason for that is that there's a riparian buffer through the center of the site, and that is where the vast majority of the mature landscaping on this property is, so we didn't want to get into touching any of that. We want to leave as much of the existing environmental conditions in place as we can. So by pushing the parking to the perimeters and cutting it into the landscaping at various places, it allows us to shield that parking from the perimeter of the property, but to do so in a way that allows us to save the entire interior. So Elstow Manor, which of course is the piece de resistance of this site, that will be the primary hotel and event space on the site. It will house, when completed, 96 hotel rooms, the primary event space, a restaurant with indoor and outdoor dining, 205 parking spaces, which are cut in along the side here, and a small helipad that's a limited access, limited use helipad that really becomes more of a marketing venture for Landmark than a continuous use type of helipad. The portion of Elstow that I mentioned earlier that has the two-story addition off of the side will get a third story. That allows them to capture the number of hotel rooms that they need, and it also allows us to modify the existing elevations of that building to be more in keeping with the rest of the site. So that's the one part of the site that isn't particularly beautiful. It will be when we're done. The former stables, which I know I've mentioned to several of you before, I think is really the coolest building on the site. It is really remarkable. That will be converted to a distillery with guest cottages, so a distillery and aging rooms. There are a couple of existing residential units in that area of the site between the former stables and the former playhouse. Those will be converted to guest cottages, so they will be part of the hotel facility. So if you're renting for the weekend at the hotel, you're there for a wedding, you might want a guest cottage instead of a smaller room. That's one of the options that you have there. There's a spot on that side of the site for 54 parking spaces with an additional 35 in reserve. As we move to the back of the site, that's where the former power plant is. That will be converted to a conference and wellness center and spa. There are currently in that building, there are 19 what we're calling apartment units. They're not traditional apartment units in that they don't have kitchen, living room, bathroom. They were used by the nuns as part of their retirement space. So they each are fitted out as a bathroom and bedroom component. There's just no individual kitchen in those. But there are 19 living units, we'll call them, within that space currently. Those will all be eliminated. So there will be no residential component within that building any longer. There are, in one of the outbuildings immediately there, a couple of apartments that are actually in pretty good shape and that are kind of unique. So the proposal is to leave those two apartments and convert those to artist-in-residence apartment spaces. There will also be, back in this area, 40 parking spaces and another 20 in reserve. At the very back of the site along Beach Avenue, which is really where we're up closest to and tightest to residential, the intent is to leave that as a pretty passive space. So there will be community gardens available, and then there's a grazing pasture and animal shelters for some goats and ducks and chickens and that type of thing. The restaurant is farm to table, so the intent is that folks can, whether it's the chef or it's folks who come to take a class, they'll be able to make cheese and those types of things, and then the restaurant will use that stuff. The grounds themselves, as I said, will be open to the public. And they will be treated as both an art and sculpture garden, so there will be art and sculpture displayed throughout the site, and effectively an arboretum. Landmark is working with Temple's horticulture program to tag and identify all of the specimen trees and interesting flora and fauna on the site. It will not have arboretum status, but the intent is that it will operate much like an arboretum. Next slide, please. Circulation is not necessarily something that that is particular to what we're doing tonight, but we did just want to make sure and note for you that there are multiple existing driveways in and out of the site that will remain. Where we're making the biggest change is along Ashbourne Road. Currently, the main entry exit along Ashbourne Road is there's a little horseshoe-shaped entry there. And as you exit there, that exit lane is about 8 feet from the Juniper intersection. If anybody's ever tried to come out of Juniper there, you know it's not pleasant. So the biggest change that we're making with respect to circulation at the site is to eliminate that horseshoe at Ashbourne, make that drive an entry only, and center it on Elstow Manor. That makes that distance between Juniper and the entry drive closer to 80 feet. So it's a substantial improvement along there. That also allows us then to cut back the existing wall at that point so that we can make the sight lines a little better along there. Next slide, please. So this is just, and I'm gonna, again, there's just a few slides here. I'll ask you to just scroll through them. This is a bit of information about Landmark themselves. As you'll see as we go through these, Landmark is a developer that specializes in adaptive reuse and historic restoration of buildings, and they also maintain and own those buildings themselves. So this is an operator that actually goes in, thank you, you can stop right there. This is an operator that goes in, they purchase the buildings or the site, they renovate, they do all of that work through their construction forces. They then operate from the site, they do all of their own marketing. This is a team of people that got about 800 folks company-wide now, who specialize in exactly this kind of project. And I tell you that in part because I can tell you as a developer's attorney, we've had over the course of the last, I want to say 10 years, in my office alone, we've probably had at least half a dozen, if not more, developers come in to talk to us about this site and what they think they could do with this site. Almost every one of the folks that we have spoken to over the years has either wanted to convert it all to residential, or it's been an institutional client who would keep the property off of the tax rolls. There have been a couple of other developers who have come through and worked with the Nuns looking at this property to do something very similar to what Landmark is proposing. None of them have been able to do it because although I think everyone looks at this property and understands that what Landmark is proposing really makes sense here, unless you are a company that does this work, it's hard to put that project together. So to have somebody like Landmark at the table who does this work all over Pennsylvania and New Jersey, who has a history and a track record of it, means that they can get the financing in place that needs to be in place. They understand what they're getting into when they're looking at these buildings, and they understand how to make it work once it's completed. The next series of slides is just to give you a sense of some of the conditions that we're dealing with on the interior of the buildings in particular, but a little bit of the exteriors as well. The Nuns have done a phenomenal job, and it's been a Herculean task to maintain these buildings over the last many years, particularly the last 10 plus since they've stopped actually operating from this site, but they really are starting to show wear. They are all reaching a point where substantial amounts of work need to be done in order to be able to maintain them and make them viable spaces moving forward. So there's a lot of work that has to go into how this thing all happens. And again, as a developer who does historic redevelopments, Landmark is sort of uniquely situated to be able to do that. If you wouldn't mind just scrolling through these couple, you can see there's a ton of systems here that are a big part of the problem and a huge component of the construction costs will be in just upgrading utility systems. Thank you. So this is really the part that I think that the district cares about financing and tax perspective, and that's the public benefits. So there's a series of public benefits that are being proposed in connection with this plan that Landmark has offered up as part of this process. Several of these we've already talked about, others I haven't mentioned yet, but we'll go through all of those. So again, significantly, Landmark intends to open the entirety of the grounds as gardens and walking trails to the public. And again, Landmark will maintain and own that property. So that's a benefit to the township and the school district without the costs associated with that maintenance. There are all art and sculpture gardens that are proposed throughout the site, and Landmark would like very much to work with both the district and the township on identifying local artists, students included, who can display their artwork throughout the site, both in the buildings and on the property throughout the year. Again, we're looking at arboretum level landscaping and identification. The restaurant with the indoor and outdoor seating will be open to the public whether or not you're staying at the site. The lobby spaces are also open to the public. This is a really important component of all of Landmark's projects. They look to energize their sites as best they can and everywhere that they can. So their lobby spaces in all of their buildings typically are open to the public, whether you're staying at the hotel or not. So the intention is that you could go and grab a cup of coffee, you could meet a friend for lunch, you could sit in the lobby and do some work, you could just hang out in the gardens because you need a zen moment. There's lots of opportunity on the site to do that. And as part of their practice, as a member of the community, they open those spaces to the public. There's a teaching kitchen and teaching classrooms associated with the restaurant, which again is another opportunity that we saw as a really clear opportunity for a relationship between Landmark and the school district. Landmark's owned by a husband and wife team, and Jeannie, the wife of that team, is very, very involved in her local county community college. She sits on the board there, and they have developed a teaching program centered all around the culinary arts and farm to table and all aspects of that. So they would love to bring something similar here. That's another spot that we think is a sort of obvious way to make an easy connection with the school district. There's also proposed for Elstone Manor recording studio. I'm told that the acoustics in this building are quite good. So there's space in there that's being carved out for recording space. And again, another opportunity to share space with the district to provide access to students to be able to record. Towards the back of the property, next to, just tucked in next to the conference center and spa, is a band shell. And that's a band shell, not a stadium space. So it's a stage area that's sort of cut into the existing grades, and then the grades around there work in such a way that, much like the Man, if you've been to the Man, the seating will not be fixed seating, it will be actually the ground itself. So it's a really interesting and simple way to kind of create some interest in, and use of a portion of the property that has some tricky grades, I think, otherwise. But they've come up with a creative way to use that. That again is something that we see as an obvious connection to the school district, the ability to provide space there for our students. We just heard about all the great things the art programs are doing at the in Cheltenham, so it would be lovely to have space there for our students to be able to perform. And again, the community gardens at the rear of the property also will be available to students and to township residents. Next slide, please. So we had to go and get a lot of zoning approval related to this property, and we have gone and done that. And I say that simply to say that Landmark has already invested a lot of time and effort into the project. I think that alone shows that they are here for the long haul and they're interested in seeing this thing to fruition. We went and received all of the zoning and relief that we needed related to this project. As I indicated earlier, this property is now zoned mixed use 3. That's part of the township's new zoning scheme that was adopted in 2017. And actually Mr. Cohen and I and a whole lot of other folks sat for many, 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 many years on a zoning task force that was working on that zoning ordinance and those changes. And I can tell you, and I think you will echo this, that the MU3 district was written with this property in mind. When the township looked at this property and they thought about zoning and they thought about what they wanted to see, if all of their wildest dreams could come true, what would this property look like? This was it. And that's why when we went to get our zoning relief, the vast majority of it was by what's known as special exception. It's a much, much simpler standard to meet. So the intention and the inference in the zoning ordinance in that case is that that's something that the township wants to see, provided that you meet a couple of basic requirements. And so that's why almost the entirety of this development was by special exception. So the event and conference facilities, the hotel, spa, restaurant, I mean, even things like the recording studio, the distillery, the public grounds, and all of those shared parking spaces, those were all things that the township thought about before Landmark ever came on the scene as what they wanted to see happen on this property. We also, as part of that process, requested the ability to hold some of the parking in reserve. Landmark, because they do this so many places, is able to really look at this mix of uses and gauge pretty accurately how much parking they believe they're going to need. There's more parking required under the ordinance than Landmark thinks they need. So the ordinance allows for you to ask to hold that in reserve. And what that means is you designate a certain number of spots that you don't think you're going to need, and you don't build them initially. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't ever build them, and it doesn't mean that we don't have to count them. So we have three locations on the property, near Chelton House, near the stables, and then back near the conference center.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.